You're listening to an April 2013 podcast from the Institute for Research on Poverty at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I'm Dave Chancellor. In February, Doug Harris of Tulane University gave an IRP seminar and was kind enough to sit down with me and talk about his work on the school system in New Orleans. Coming out of Hurricane Katrina, most schools in New Orleans were underwater, and a lot of the administration, teachers, and students had left town. In the recovery, New Orleans has created a public school system that is predominantly made up of charter schools. Approximately 80% of the schools are now charters, with most of those operating under what's called the Recovery School District. And mostly, it seems to be working. When I began talking to Professor Harris, it was my assumption that the Recovery School District was a direct reaction to the devastation of Hurricane Katrina, but that's not quite the case.
One of the things people don't realize is that the Recovery School District, which is really what houses most of the charter schools, existed before the storm. Recovery was meant more as recovering from failure, right? So it was a way of getting failing schools into a different structure so that they could turn around and be more successful. So there are only a few schools in the Recovery School District before Katrina hit. But then when Katrina happened, for lots of reasons, there was interest in moving more schools into Recovery District.
Harris says this was partly for financial issues. The Orleans Parish School Board had a lot of financial problems and wasn't necessarily in a position to get a lot of schools up and running quickly.
It was felt at the time that to rebuild the city, you had to get the schools up and running, and nobody's going to come back if the schools weren't operating. So they felt the need to do it very quickly, and they thought it would both be faster, but then simultaneously, I think there was a larger interest in trying to do something big. Like a lot of big cities, the schools in New Orleans were considered to be, for a long time, to be unsuccessful, and this was seen as an opportunity to do something big.
In the Recovery School District, or RSD, there are both charter schools and a smaller number of struggling schools run by RSD. The charter schools receive much greater autonomy in return for positive results, mostly better test scores. Many of the news stories about the Recovery School District in the last couple of years seem to indicate that these charter schools have been a big success. According to Professor Harris, well, maybe.
Well, it's hard to tell. So the studies that have been done so far focus on finding comparison schools for the charters that are outside the district. So comparing a charter school in New Orleans to a demographically similar school somewhere else, and then making that comparison. So that's mostly what's been done so far. And you make that comparison, it does look like the charter schools are doing pretty well in New Orleans.
One of the major questions that Harris is looking at is whether students in New Orleans are learning more in school after Katrina than they were before Katrina. This is a different question, and one that Harris says is harder to answer. He says there are a few reasons for this.
One is that the population totally changed. Everybody left, and then some people came back, and some people who weren't there to begin with moved in, like me. I'd recently gone down there. So trying to account for the ways in which the change in the population affected student learning before and after is important. Also, the data are not as good before Katrina. So those are the two big impediments to figuring out what's changed.
A lot of the charter schools, with the most prominent example being KIPP, use a model based on longer school days, a longer school year, regimented behavior standards, and a big emphasis on rewarding students who do well on what Harris calls measurable outcomes. At other schools, there's more differentiation based on subjects, so arts-focused schools, science and technology-focused schools, language immersion schools.
But beyond that kind of surface level, it's again, hard to know. So part of my hope is to find out more about what the differences really are inside the school, how it really looks different. One of the other criticisms of the system, it's both a criticism and an advantage depending on how you look at it, is that you've got this test-based accountability system on top of the market-based reform. So the Recovery School District is actually a state agency, and so partly for that reason, they're very focused on the test scores in the schools. So that actually makes it harder for schools to differentiate themselves in terms of what they do, because they all have to do well on the tests. So part of what we'll be looking at is whether there seems to be evidence of that, and whether that's kind of constraining the opportunity to be innovative and try new things in the schools.
Harris says the charter schools are still dominantly comprised of the most disadvantaged students. In part, he says this is because the schools that were put in the Recovery District were the ones that had the lowest test scores to begin with, and there's a fairly strong correlation between test scores and relative economic status. Additionally, many of the charter schools are located in more disadvantaged neighborhoods, and students are more likely to go to schools that are close to home. Of course, New Orleans has a pretty unique situation right now. So, can any of the findings from these schools be generalized to other places, especially those with a lot of disadvantaged students?
Yeah, I think there are two differences. One is the way in which the reform got put in place, right? So that's obviously something that doesn't generalize to anywhere. The impetus for it was the storm. I mean, there were certainly other things in the background that was almost like a kind of the stars aligning for something like this to happen if you think it's a good thing. So there was the financial problems in the traditional district, plus the perception that the schools were failing, plus some the way the politics were arranged at the time. It made it fairly easy to make a strong change. There wasn't a superintendent at the time in this traditional district, so that there wasn't anybody to lobby or somebody who had political power to really fight against it. So there are all those factors affecting whether and how the thing got put in place. And then there's also the issues around, well, given that you've got this program put in place now, whatever we learn about New Orleans, can it apply to New York and Chicago and all the other cities?
Harris says that until you know what sort of effects the reform has had, you can't really say why it's had those effects or predict how they might generalize to other cities. But if the post-Katrina reforms in New Orleans' school system are shown to be successful, there are a few theories as to what might be working in New Orleans' favor.
There are a few theories. One is that it's primarily a human capital story, that you had this influx of Teach for America teachers and people coming in from all over the country, entrepreneurs creating charter schools and so on that you wouldn't have had otherwise. So just a lot of very smart people have moved to New Orleans. Second theory is that it's more a test-based accountability story, that you've got more pressure on testing. And the third is that it's more the market operating. You've got more parental choice, it's more competition, and that usual economic theory. And there are other theories as well, right, about the funding levels change, and lots of other things are changing at the same time. So trying to tease that out is going to be tricky, but it also will speak to whether you can do this somewhere else. If it's primarily a human capital story, that's going to be pretty hard to replicate. Like, you can't just create the influx of talent that New Orleans received in other cities so easily. New Orleans, it was coming out of the storm. It was a place people wanted to go to be helpful. It's a fun place to live. It's a nice place to live in lots of ways. So I think it was very easy to attract people down there. So they're trying to do it in Baton Rouge now, right, which is just an hour and a half away, but, could seen as a very different place. So I think if it's the human capital story, then it's probably an extension to Baton Rouge isn't going to work as well as it might have worked in New Orleans.
So in looking for the answers behind any success that New Orleans has seen, there are big challenges in terms of just measuring how things have changed. Not only does the population in the city itself look very different than before Katrina, but there are additionally many different schooling models and administrative structures that vary substantially from school to school. Thanks to Doug Harris for talking about this story with us. You've been listening to a podcast from the Institute for Research on Poverty.